Attention, attention. This is History Lost in Time.
And welcome to episode 52 of the History Lost in Time podcast. This podcast is available in German and English on YouTube, Spotify, and podcast.de, with a social media presence on Blue Sky and Instagram.
The topic of this episode.
In this episode, I want to talk about the first post-war elections in East Germany in 1946. These elections are special because they were the only relatively free elections held in East Germany until 1990. I'll explain what I mean by relatively free later. Despite the problems, these elections provide a fairly accurate snapshot of public opinion and can therefore help answer the following question. Did the people of East Germany at that time really want communist rule or something else?
Political agenda and background.
Actually, none. I am not interested in East Germany bashing, nor am I making a statement regarding the political parties of that time. However, since only sham elections took place in the East after 1946, it's only possible to ascertain the political mood of the population between 1947 and 1990 through indirect methods. A good starting point is indeed the 1946 elections. I will first describe the general political situation, then discuss the local elections in September 1946, then the state elections of 1946, and finally, for comparison, the elections for the Greater Berlin Senate in 1946.
The sources that were used.
For this episode, I'm using a mix of online sources. The election results are freely available, and information on the general political situation can be found in any book on the history of the period. For example, the book Die Chronik der Deutschen, The Chronicle of the Germans, published by Chronik Verlag, Gütersloh, Munich, provides an overview. I have the third edition from 1995. When the Third Reich collapsed in May 1945, at the end of World War II, there was only one party in Germany, the Nazi Party NSDAP. It was immediately banned by the Allies, which meant that initially there were no political parties at all. However, political parties were necessary for the reconstruction of political life. They had existed in Germany since the 19th century and were considered essential by all the victorious powers. The Soviet Union permitted the formation of political parties in its occupation zone as early as June 10, 1945. However, these were parties established by Moscow's grace. The leadership had to be confirmed by the Soviets, and the parties were only allowed to operate within the so-called anti-fascist democratic bloc. Four parties were quickly founded in this way: the Communist KPD, the Social Democratic SPD, the Christian Democratic CDU, and the Liberal LDP. Put simply, the KPD stood for classical, Moscow-loyal communist policies. The SPD attempted to combine a socialist economy with personal freedom and democracy. The CDU advocated for Christian socialism. And the LDP championed personal and political freedom in the tradition of left liberalism. Although this multi-party system was not in line with the wishes of KPD leader Ulbricht, the Soviet leader Stalin initially hoped to gain political influence in all of Germany through it. Furthermore, he assumed that Soviet leadership would automatically enable the KPD to achieve a majority among the German population. The first few months, however, made it clear that Stalin's idea was not working. Furthermore, it became apparent that the SPD was significantly more popular than the KPD, especially in East Germany. In November 1945, parliamentary elections were held in Austria, in which the conservative ÖVP won 49.8%, the Social Democratic SPÖ 44.6%, and the Communist KPÖ only 5.4% of the vote. Following the Austrian elections, both the Communist KPD and the Soviet Union pursued a forced merger of the KPD and the Social Democratic SPD in the Soviet-occupied zone. The idea was clear. The new unified Socialist Party would capture the popularity and votes of the SPD, but be controlled by KPD leaders to prevent an electoral disaster like the one in Austria. There were indeed voices within the SPD that advocated for a merger with the KPD. The idea of uniting the workers' parties had existed since their split in the late 1910s. This is why the term forced merger is still a subject of debate. However, the merger was ultimately not voluntary. The Soviet military administration and the KPD, with the help of those within the SPD who favored the merger, exerted massive pressure on the entire party. This pressure included not only psychological manipulation, but also arrests. Large numbers of SPD members who opposed the merger fled to the Western occupation zones. As a result, resistance within the East German SPD weakened. The forced merger finally took place in April 1946. However, the merger only applied to the Soviet occupation zone. The SPD in the western parts of Germany and the SPD in Greater Berlin remained independent. The newly unified party was the SED, the Socialist Unity Party of Germany. Control lay with Walter Ulbricht, the former chairman of the KPD. Former SPD members played only a subordinate role. The other bloc parties, the CDU and the LDP, were also subject to strict repression within the anti-fascist democratic bloc and could not express their views freely. While theoretically they were represented in the later state organizations through the bloc, in practice they were only allowed to endorse SED policies and could not take action themselves. All of this was still in its early stages. In 1946, there were still aspirations for independent politics within the CDU and LDP. Furthermore, the elections were not rigged and simply awarded 99.8% to the unified list. Rather, a proper count was conducted. To guarantee a victory for the SED, every trick in the book was used. The SED received far more space in print media and on the radio than its rival parties. I have published several episodes on East German radio, specifically numbers 34, 38, 42, and 46, which I recommend here. Furthermore, personal pressure was exerted on functionaries of the bloc parties. Soviet and communist officials attempted to intimidate members of rival parties and voters in general. The organization of the CDU and LDP was also systematically disrupted, for example, in the compilation and approval of electoral lists. Individual candidates were barred from running because they were classified as other fascist activists, or as having war interests. This way, popular CDU and LDP candidates could be sidelined from the outset. Even in minor matters, such as the allocation of paper for posters and party newspapers, these parties were disadvantaged. The still existing West German SPD was summarily banned in the Soviet occupation zone. In other words, wherever possible, efforts were made to improve the situation for the SED and worsen it for the competition. Furthermore, expellees, prisoners of war, and high-ranking members of the NSDAP, SS, and other Nazi organizations were not eligible to vote. The first test came in the form of the local elections held in September 1946 in the East German states of Mecklenburg, Brandenburg, Saxony, Saxony-Anhalt, and Thuringia. At that time, these states still existed. They were later replaced by districts within the GDR. To keep the results clear, I won't simply rattle off all the numbers. No one could possibly remember them all. For those interested in the details, I refer you to the corresponding Wikipedia pages where the results are listed in full. From a neutral perspective, the local elections could be considered a success for the SED. It became by far the strongest party in all states. However, it only achieved absolute majorities of over 50% in Mecklenburg and Brandenburg. In its stronghold of Mecklenburg, it even garnered over 63%. This was roughly the goal the Soviets and the Communists had set for themselves. In Saxony and Saxony-Anhalt, the SED narrowly missed the 50% mark, while its worst result was in Thuringia, with around 46%. The CDU achieved its best result in Saxony with just under 20%, while the LDP reached almost 24% in Thuringia. Just over 9% of the votes were invalid. In these cases, voters had frequently cast their ballots for candidates who were not eligible to run. With some momentum, the SED entered the state elections in October 1946. The result, however, was sobering. Across the board, the SED achieved worse results than in the local elections, in some cases significantly so. In its stronghold of Mecklenburg, where it had garnered over 63% of the vote in the local elections, it now landed at 49.5%. In the other states, its results ranged between just under 44% and around 49%. Thus, it was once again the strongest party everywhere, but it had not won an absolute majority of the votes anywhere. Had the conditions been truly democratic, there would even have been a CDU-LDP coalition in Brandenburg and Saxony-Anhalt. In Mecklenburg, Saxony and Thuringia, the gap between the SED and the CDU and LDP was very narrow. Extrapolated to the entire country, the SED achieved a result of 47.5% in these state elections. The CDU and LDP together garnered 49.1%. The number of invalid votes remained high, at around 5-6%, but not as high as in the local elections. The elections in Greater Berlin were even more sobering. Here the SED had to compete against the significantly more popular SPD. While the elections in the eastern sector were also influenced by reprisals and media dominance, the election results were counted correctly. Furthermore, the Soviets could not formally ban the SPD, as Berlin was under four-power administration, and East Berlin was not part of the Soviet occupation zone. In West Berlin, the SPD achieved almost 52% of the vote, securing an absolute majority. The SED trailed far behind in third place with just under 14%. The SPD also performed strongly in East Berlin, achieving over 43%, while the SED garnered less than 30%. Extrapolated to all of Berlin, the SPD received 48.7% of the vote, while the SED only managed 19.8%, falling behind the CDU. One cannot, of course, equate a major city like Berlin with rural regions like Brandenburg or Mecklenburg. There is not only a regional and cultural difference, but also a significant urban-rural divide. However, the situation in the late 1940s, when almost everyone owned nothing and faced the same problems, leveled many of these differences. It can therefore be assumed that the Berlin election results, as a rough guideline, would likely have been possible in the eastern German states as well, had the SPD been allowed to run independently. The election results were considered a disaster by the SED and the Soviet military leadership. Although the SED had won relative majorities, it would have been dependent on the support of other parties in a democratic system. It was clear that despite the massive obstruction of the other parties and the preferential treatment by the Soviets, the SED could not win a majority among the East German population. Stalin therefore abandoned the multi-party system. In future elections, the SED and the Bloc parties were combined into a single list, and only this single list was now eligible for election. Furthermore, since the election was no longer secret and free, the counting of the ballots was essentially meaningless, and the result for the single list was always 99.8%. That the elections were merely sham elections was an open secret in the GDR. This fact can be traced back to the 1946 elections, in which the population of East Germany, even under considerable pressure, failed to grant the SED an absolute majority.
A few finishing words.
The 1946 elections marked the transition from relatively free and pluralistic elections to the forced alignment of political parties and the establishment of a one-party dictatorship in East Germany. While the Bloc parties were formally represented in most East German institutions, with the exception of the officer corps of security organs such as the Stasi, the leadership everywhere was held by members of the SED. These Bloc parties were colloquially known as Blockflutes and were not taken seriously. Although membership in one of the bloc parties could be advantageous for one's career, only members of the SED could reach the top of power. East Germany did not experience truly free elections again until 1990. The last truly free elections had taken place some 60 years prior.
Thank you. This was History Lost in Time.